2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians 12. Join me in reading verse number 9, please. And he, speaking of our Lord, said unto me, speaking unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, we looked at this verse in last week's messages, considering the question who it was that was sufficient. Who was it that was sufficient for such things? But today I would like to consider the very last part of this statement. This last statement part where it says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, as I read that part of the statement last week, my mind was going in the direction of who it is that's sufficient. But when I actually read it to you, that last part jumped out at me. How can anything I do make the strength of God perfect? Everything about the God of Scriptures is perfect in every way already. There is no blemish in Him. All that He has done, all that He is doing this very moment, and all that He can and will do in the future can only be perfect. He's as holy can be. Perfect in every way. This is why free will worship is wrong. Free will worship says that Christ went to the cross and it wasn't perfectly done. There's still something else that others have to do. No, salvation is of the Lord. Period. As I said in the Bible study, that's the best message any of us can have to anybody who ever asked. What is your faith? Oh, you're a Christian? You go to church? What do you believe in? Oh, that's what you're doing Sunday. You're going to church. Okay, what kind of church do you go to? If you can't say anything else at all, you can say this. Salvation is of the Lord. Yeah. Period. That's it. What a testimony we have to tell the world. Salvation is of our Savior. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be saved at all. If it wasn't for Him, I would continue on the path that I deserve, and that's the path to damnation. God is holy, so holy that He cannot even look upon sin. Yet He who knew no sin was made sin, that you and I would be made righteous in Him. Go back to Romans chapter 9, if you would, please. The 9th chapter of Romans. And may our great Savior be pleased to give us an understanding of His Word. In the 9th verse that we just read in 2 Corinthians, He said, my strength is made perfect. That word perfect in verse 9 is defined as this: complete, finished, fulfilled, accomplished, proved. In other words, His strength, you could say, is proved in our weakness. The very fact that we are so weak, we can't even take a breath without Him, gives us just a little indication, a little demonstration of the perfection of Him, of His strength. It proves to you and I, because we know who the Lord is, we've been given that blessed, eye-opening life that only Christ can give. The ability to see His truths, that He, the Creator of all things, is the provider of all things. Without Him, we wouldn't even have air to breathe. He created air. He created everything that we can see and everything that we can't see. We've gotten pretty smart, haven't we? We've got telescopes now that look way out. Have you ever seen some of those pictures? They're actually pretty cool if you think about it, but I'm not so sure how accurate all of them are. He created all that, though. Yeah. Every bit of that. Even the telescopes that can see it. Accomplished. Because I am so weak in the flesh, I need the strength of God perfected, accomplished. And that's exactly what He does. That's exactly what He did on that cross 2,000 years ago. He accomplished my salvation for me. Because I couldn't. Finished. When He hung on that cross and He cried out, "It is finished," His strength was perfected. It was accomplished. It was finished. As we saw in our Bible study this morning, God's people rest in Him, in His accomplishments, in His works. We put all of our works that we used to do aside. We fight the desire to try to do any of it, any works of our own now. And just I was telling them in the Bible study, it was very difficult for me when I first started coming to church to put all that aside. But as the Lord continues to grow and I learn more about Him, as He continues to do a work in me, He gives me more and more confidence to rest in Him. Pastor Gene had gotten to a point where he fully trusted in the Lord. I pray the day will be soon when I can be there also. And I know I will. Even though now I fight the flesh. Yeah. Another point that we made last week from Philippians 1:20, it says, 121, it said, "For to me to live is Christ. In all that we do, we openly acknowledge our Savior as the Lord. We do not hide our faith. Not a person I know, there's not a person I know that doesn't know me and the Lord that I follow, and of the Lord that I follow. When I declare salvation is of the Lord, they know that that Lord is the ruler of all things, is sovereign over all things. There was nothing for John to do. By that declaration, I'm declaring to you, there's nothing for me to do. It's all been done in Him. It's complete in Him. How many times have you heard somebody, "Well, I started following the Lord back in 2003 when I went up to the pastor and did a little prayer." Or, "I was saved," in whatever date you want to take. Or, "I did this," or, "I did that." Salvation is of the Lord puts all that away. There's no other answer to it. There's nothing else to do. Salvation is of the Lord. Plain and simple. In our weakness, His strength is made perfect. Our Lord does not do anything in hiding. All that He has, all that he is, can be seen openly. Look at the creation around us. Look at the way the birds feed. You know these chickens out here? Nobody feeds those. You ever seen chickens so fat? They don't put any food out there. They just put them in a pen, and the next thing you know, the Lord's been feeding them ever since. We can see it in the creation. We can see it openly. But men choose not to see it, for we are blinded by our very nature. In the third chapter, verse 19 of John, and this is the condemnation. This is what condemns men to hell. That light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Why would men love darkness? Because their deeds were evil and the light exposes their evil. They don't want to see the sovereignty of God. People like their free will. My aunt, who I've shared with you many times, sweetest lady I've ever seen, just went crazy. You will not take my free will from me, and poked me in the chest, just like that. You know, probably not as ugly as I was. She's a lot prettier than I am. But you know what I'm saying? Have you ever had a friend or a relative like that? They want their free will. You will not take my free will from me. That's mine. It's mine to do with what I want. Darkness they love rather than light because it reveals their evil deeds. Do you have one of today's bulletins with you? I'd like you to open it up to the inside middle page. And I don't do this to embarrass you, Bill. I hope you don't take this as an embarrassment. This is a blessing to me, folks. I've been telling Bill he should be writing for a long time. And as you may have noticed in the last couple of weeks, we've had two articles that the Lord has laid up on his heart to write. Join me in reading this, will you? From Joshua 24:15. Choose ye this day. And if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Bill, pardon me. Bill writes, if Adam in his perfect perfection did not choose God over Eve, but ate the forbidden fruit and plunged all of mankind into rebellion against God, then how can an imperfect man choose God? In Isaiah 64:7-9, and there is none that calleth upon the name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And the very Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Yeah. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You see, salvation is a gift given by the will of God, not the commandment by the whims of men. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, man will always choose that which sounds, looks, or feels right in their own minds, and they will disregard that what God declares pleases himself. Salvation is not your decision to choose God, but it is God's good pleasure to choose you.
Amen.
And if chosen, you will serve him, not he you. See what I'm saying about the article there, folks? This is our Lord showing his strength by choosing us because we are too weak to choose him. We're just flesh. There is no strength in us. I can do it. I can do it. I get this done. No, you can't. If you get it done, it's because God gave you the will and the opportunity and everything that needed to get it done, done. Because everything comes from Him. Just as all creation that there is came from Him, all air that we breathe came from Him, all food that we eat comes from Him, so does anything good that we might do. The power of God is openly declared in every word of His Holy Scripture. When Christ called out, "It is finished," He declared His power, His strength, His finished work of salvation. And so it is with all things. When the Lord gives life to a dead, lost sinner, we see His power, His authority, His sovereignty in everything that is. Look at verses 15 through 24 of Romans chapter 9. "For He, speaking of God, saith to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.' So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Now, does that not address the free will thing right there? We were talking about this Friday night. How is it, and we know, we all, I think you know, there's a lot of people out there who know this scripture and this book way better than I do. And I use the Pope as an example, but I'm pretty sure he's probably got every verse in this whole book memorized. He reads this. How can the Catholics go on to preach it's your free will to move about and do your thing? How can they do that and still read that? Because they're blinded. The flesh is weak. You see what I'm saying about making His strength perfect? The very fact that we cannot see these things, but we do now, glorifies Him. Because there was a time when we neither saw Him either, isn't there? Wasn't there? Could we not say, each and every one of us, that there was a day when we did not see that very thing? Maybe you worshipped God in some way where you exercised your free will. Maybe you worshipped God and by not doing by showing up on Saturday, the Sabbath day, supposedly. Maybe you did whatever it was you did. Do you not see yourself in the weakness that you are now? "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up." The most richest man in the world at that time, the very ones who used Israel and the backs of those people to build their diamonds, their pyramids, their statues, their gods, their stone gods, raised them up that they would take Israel into bondage, into slavery. Why? Right here. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee." By the weakness of those people that were held slavery, our God showed His strength. It was perfected. It was exposed. It was revealed. The whole world could see what had happened at that time. Maybe everybody didn't see the Red Sea depart, but there were many who did. And to this day, there are still many who have seen it in writing. "That my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Are we getting a picture of how our Lord's strength is perfected in the weakness of men? We see His perfection in everything, not just in creation, but in salvation. We see it in His power, in getting us out of the problems that we're in. Yesterday we were having difficulties capping off the copper tubing. It's old copper in the building next door. And we had to go through 5 or 6 times redoing the copper caps to cap off the lines, because we cut out a wall that had copper lines going through it, and we're going to move it, the copper lines. I finally got to a point after 5 or 6 times for both of them, my son and his friend Bill. And they just could not get those lines to seal. And they're both very experienced people at doing that kind of thing. They were both just frustrated to the point of no end. And I literally just walked off and said, "Lord, I haven't come to you today yet, have I? I haven't come to you for this problem." And I'm not kidding, folks. I'm not exaggerating. That was the last time we put a cap on and everything was sealed. We come to know who it is that rules all things. Not because of anything we have done, but because He has shown it to us. We see His power in everything. So as we continue to read verse 18, "Therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will He hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why dost thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted His will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to Him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Well, here's a question for you. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another into dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What if our Lord has just put all that destruction off so that another one of us can be called out of darkness? So that another one of His chosen can come to know the perfection of His power and their own weakness. The living God of all creation has all power, even over the will of men. And when our great God takes us through trials of any kind, His power is proven over and over and over again. His strength is shown. The world may not see it, but you and I do, don't we? We see the power of God in creation. We see the power of God in salvation. We see the power of God in preservation. In our weakness, His strength is perfected. That may not make sense to the blind world, but to one who has been healed of their spiritual blindness, it makes perfect sense. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. The world cannot see the true power of God, even when He walked this earth and stood right before them. And you and I were in that very same camp. We too were blinded by our own pride, by our own righteousness, that we could not see the power of God. Yet a day came when God revealed His strength in and to our very hearts through the preaching of His word. A day of His love. A day of His power. Are you with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Look at verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." That's who you and I were at one time. We were right there with the camp of the world. How can He who hung on this cross, this one who is in the flesh, how can that make me perfect? How can all my sins be laid upon that? But that's what His word teaches. And that's what He's given us the faith to believe in. To believe that He has the power to do that very thing. To take all of our sins, every single one that you and I will ever commit, and have committed and bury it in the ground, never to be seen again. Oh, what a blessing that is to me. For I know the sinner that I am. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Our Lord, our Savior. All power belongs to Him. All the fullness of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in Him. Our Lord is the power of God, and it's been proven. It's been proven by what He has done. It has been revealed. It's been revealed to our hearts through the preaching of His word by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is complete. There's nothing that you can add to it. It is finished. It is fulfilled. It is accomplished. And it's proved. In other words, it's perfected. You see, it's not what I do or have done that perfects the power of God. It's what He has done in me. For my strength, He says, is made perfect in weakness. In our weakness, the strength of God is revealed. His deliverance of the Jews in slavery to the Egyptians was a demonstration. It was a picture of that very strength. And the world saw His power executed in the weakness of the people who could not deliver themselves. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians for just a moment and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to come right back to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 5.
First or second?
2 Corinthians.
Second.
Chapter 4. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Salvation is of the Lord. There's no better message that we could give. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and let's close with verses 25 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I know my weakness. And here's the wonderful thing of my Lord showing me how weak I am. As I turn from John and I look to him. He's all my strength. He's everything. And as I go through this world, every day I learn more and more to trust in him. Someday I'll be like Pastor Gene, with that ability to just, that's the Lord's way, it's going to be that way, and that's all there is to it. Someday. And then there's going to be a day when I'll have all that flesh put away. And I'll see his perfection. And I'll see his glory as Henry Mahan does this day. Oh, how wonderful for that brother who now stands in the presence of his Lord. Amen.